Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard Conversations with the Queen, where I am. Because we are all. But most of all,
I am gifted. I am all of this. And indeed, the shit.
Peace and love. You are now tuned into the frequency of Conversations with the Queen, where holistic health, music, art, and life converge to create mental stimulation for your listening pleasure.
Blessings, y'all. It's your girl, Tay Queen, and welcome to another lovely episode of Conversations with the Queen. Tonight, we will be having a great, great guest on named Master Yal. He'll be talking about Kundalini healing, the path to E, as P, which is awesome. Excuse me, got that wrong. But totally. All right, so it's totally awesome. We're going to have a great show. And of course, we're going to start off every episode, as we so often do, with our affirmation, of course. So our affirmation for this week is, I am fully open to receiving the abundant energy that the universe has to offer me. I channel all of this energy for its highest good and make the best use of it. And by this energy and action, I am transformed. Ashe, so you'll be able to check out that affirmation and so many more on conversationswiththequeen.wordpress.com. And it'll definitely be an amazing experience and something that you can just utilize in your life daily. So we have that and so many other affirmations up there as well. It's great to get into that whole context. You can also check us out on facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen for our daily affirmations that we do on there as well. All right. Our monthly yoga pose is the Tekken, and you can find more information about that as well at our new blog site at conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. We have a video that teaches you how to get into the position. Everything like that. It's a great pose because it actually helps to stimulate the throat chakra, the thyroid glands. It drains the lymphatic glands and the throat, relieves tension from the neck, the shoulders, and spine because, ooh, I need that in my life. And stimulates so many internal organs, increases the blood circulation to the brain, helps to correct your posture. It's an amazing, amazing pose. So you definitely want to check that out. And you can just type in the search bar on conversationswiththequeen.wordpress.com, the monthly yoga pose for March, and it'll pop right up. And again, that's the Tekken pose, which is an amazing pose. All right? Let's get into a little bit of these announcements before we bring our lovely guest on. See him on the line waiting. And welcome to everybody who is listening in on the live stream and on the call. Thank y'all for listening in. We're going to get into a little bit of these announcements again. Hidden History Online presents The Return of the Moors, featuring Dr. Bay. Great lecture, Dr. Arlene Bay, who is a friend of our show. They'll be in Brooklyn on March 30th, 2014, and at the Restoration Plaza, and that's 1368 Fulton Street in Brooklyn, New York. And you'll be able to live stream it if you are not in the area. So don't think just because you're not in Brooklyn, you can't view this amazing lecture. So definitely, to learn more about this event, you can go to facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. Tickets are $20 advance if you plan on attending the live event, and are $30 at the door. They also have the live option, which is the live stream option, which is $20, of course. So you can go to facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen and find out more about that. Or you can visit facebook.com/GeminiCreatress or go to hiddenhistoryonline.org. And you can actually find out more about that if you would like to vend at that event. Of course, you would have to be willing to travel or in the area. If you would like to vend at that event, you can email Mel at brooklynmagi@yahoo.com. Again, that's B-R-O-O-K-L-Y-N, magi, M-A-G-I, @yahoo.com. So you can definitely get in touch with him. You can also hit him up if you need some tickets. All right? So that's going to be an amazing event. Also, I will be hosting the Revolutionary Women in Reggae Dinner on Friday, March 28th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. The event will be held at the Great Hall at Codman Square Health Center in Boston, Massachusetts. Admission is free, and dinner is $20 per plate. So if you're in the Boston area, definitely come out and support. I will be hosting, again, the Revolutionary Women in Reggae Dinner. Just great organization, wonderful women who are coming together to celebrate Harriet Tubman Centennial and International Women's Month. So, I mean, it was just a great experience last year that we had. So the dinner this year will just be honoring Harriet Tubman, of course, as usual, and just be a great experience all around. We have some wonderful speakers. So, again, the admission is free, but if you want dinner, you can pay $20 per plate. Amazing, amazing event. And also, we have our new blog, conversationswiththequeen.wordpress.com. We have launched our blog launch contest. So I believe the last day for it is Thursday. So if you go over to conversationswiththequeen.wordpress.com, you can actually just type in contest, and you'll be able to pull it up. And all you have to do is follow the instructions to get entered and win your own free Black History calendar, which is great. So definitely go back there, do that, and we can get all into that as well. All right, so I'm going to bring on Master Yao, and we're going to talk about Kundalini healing, the path to expanded sexual response, or ESR, as he likes to call it. Let's bring him on. Master Yao, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Peace.
Hello to your audience.
Yes. Hey, everybody. We're over here chilling with Master Yao. We're going to get into this great, great conversation. But before we do, introduce yourself for our listening audience who might not be familiar with you.
I am Master Yao, Yao Morris, and I'm an author. One of the books that I'm best known for is Awakening the Master Feminine. I'm a life coach. I specialize in relationship issues, sexual issues, and gender issues. I'm an energy healer specializing in what is called Kundalini table work or polarity healing. And I've been doing this for a little over 20 years.
Definitely. So you're well over qualified to speak on this subject. So for those who might not be familiar with what Kundalini energy is, what is Kundalini energy?
It's the energy that makes you alive. It's it's a unique biological energy that contains consciousness in the energy stream itself. Most energy is pretty much a force of its own, but it's not conscious. Kundalini is conscious energy, and it's the energy that comes into you when you are first born that causes you to take your first breath. It unites all of the other energies and things in your body, your mind to your brain, the blood to your cells, the cells to the brain. It's the energy that makes you alive, and we're always generating it. It's generated at the base of your spine approximately by the chi force. If male chi and female chi, or yin chi and yang chi combined in that area to produce kundalini, and it's what fuels your life force. One way you could think of kundalini is like it's sort of an electrical energy. And if you think of a house having electrical energy, think of the energy of a computer or the low voltage of a thermostat. That would be kind of more like kundalini. It's the energy that drives other energies.
Definitely. All right, that's a great way to put it. I've never heard it that way. It's a great, great analogy there. So what are the kundalini sciences?
The cornerstone of kundalini science, as far as tantric type things go, is called genital reflexology. And that, you know, talks about all reflexologies.
Mm-hmm.
Another science is acupuncture. Is one of the kundalini sciences, because the healing in acupuncture is brought about by redirecting kundalini to places where it has been, where it's absent.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you would get into what are called the counterfeit personality, which is the sciences that deal with what happens when the kundalini is blocked. And so when the kundalini is blocked in people, which in most people it is, depending on how it's blocked, it causes your personality to change, and it causes your physical body to develop illnesses. So acupuncture studies the physical illnesses. The counterfeit personality sciences deal with what happens to you psychologically.
That's deep. So you explained a little bit about how those sciences are used for healing, and I think that the counterfeit personality is something that I've never personally heard of. Could you expound a little bit upon that area of the science and how it's used for healing?
When you're born with an auric field, and you're born with a natal template. And that's the key to everything. That natal template is the spiritual or energy equivalent to your DNA. So that's what you're supposed to grow up to be. But because the kundalini is blocked, and because of some of the other things that happen to us, nobody pretty much becomes that thing. You become something different. And the difference between that thing that you become and what you were meant to be, what your design is, what your blueprint is the definition of the counterfeit personality. It's sort of an inductive process where you, by using that, by looking at and observing what you've become, we can help to heal you by understanding that the energy has to be blocked at a certain point in order for you to have developed this way. In other words, if somebody's walking around with a cold, you say, well, okay, there's got to be a germ someplace doing something in some part of the organ that's causing this mucus and these symptoms. And it's the same thing with the counterfeit personality structure. It's very ancient, and a lot of people use other words to talk about it, but it is one of the kundalini sciences.
That's amazing. All right. We do have 46 minutes left on the live stream, and we're going to ask that everybody holds their questions until we are finished with the question and presentation aspect of this presentation. So I'm just going to ask you guys to hold on with your questions onto that. But when you are ready to call in, the call number is 917-932-8881, and you'll be able to call in and call up with your questions. Again, we're discussing kundalini healing with Master Yao, and it's just blowing my mind on a couple of different subjects and adding on to the knowledge, definitely. So what is ESR, or expanded sexual response? Yeah, I got that right now. Expanded.
ESR, it's not a term most people are familiar with, and that is unfortunate. It's expanded sexual response. Basically, it's a term that scientists have coined in the last 8 or 9 years to explain something that they can't explain. Several different institutes and journals and groups have been studying tantric and kundalini phenomena for the last 12 to 13 years, basically after several of us published books about, you know, tantra and relationships and whatever, after we published that information in the 1990s, the scientists that had been studying sort of changed some of their tactics, and they began trying to disprove, basically, that expanded sexual response existed. But instead, what they have done is they proved it. They still don't know how it's done, but they've confirmed. They've been studying this for over 10 years now. Several thousand women and men have participated in the studies. So what expanded sexual response is, it's the goal that we have in the Grand Trine program. So it's more than just a tantric program. It deals with many aspects of kundalini healing. Mm-hmm. Expanded sexual response is basically how human beings are designed to have sex or to be intimate with their partner. And expanded sexual response, it not only has a pleasure component to it, it has an energetic or emotional, spiritual component to it, and it has a health component to it. And so it's basically how we're supposed to make love. Now, it's different from the normal or regular, typical sexual experience in that you have an increased biological capacity to store energy, to store neurochemicals, and to store muscle, potential muscle movement. And this energy is built up in the same way that normal sex is, except it's built up 10 to 20 times more. Then normally in what we call typical sexual activity, this energy is expended or released. This tension is built up, then it's released in what is called climax. And after that, the person's capacity to continue activity is substantially reduced. In expanded sexual response, that's not the case. Certain circuits are completed, and each time that you come to this, what we would call an orgasmic spasm, the downtime is a matter of a few minutes, and then you go right back up there again. And each time that you come back slightly higher. So one is like a curve, like a bell curve that goes up and comes all the way down. In expanded sexual response, the curve goes up in small peaks like a stair step and gets to a very high level. It's marked by changes in consciousness. There's few studies about men in ESR, but with women, after they've experienced expanded sexual response for a couple of weeks, they go into theta and delta states of trance, and they experience heightened consciousness where they know things without being taught, where they can see things, where they understand things that they didn't understand before. It's also marked by changes in health, where the people who are experiencing this on a semi-regular basis begin to self-heal at accelerated rates. And these things are documented. For instance, you can go to the Journal of Neuroquantology from the 2011 to 2013, especially in volume 10. You can look up articles on it. And there's four or five other institutes and journals that are published that talk about this. Now, of course, they don't fully understand it yet, but they have documented that it does exist and that these things that I'm telling you, that they've been able to observe them in the double-blind laboratory experiments. In tantra, we've always known about this. I mean, we've known about this for the last 2,000 years. And in kundalini healing, in the Grand Trine program, we're able to take people who are what we called restricted sexual response, which is 99% of the population, and convert them into expanded sexual response. And what we're doing is not changing them into something unusual. What we're doing is activating their DNA so that they can be natural, so that they can be what they were meant to be. And so we have so many people who are doing it the wrong way, or what I call the partial way, that it's become accepted as normal. But indigenous cultures have been making love in an outstanding, extraordinary way for hundreds of years. And they consider the way we do it as very primitive and unnatural. So when we just have love and we're just focused on the immediate gratification, you know, it's a good thing. I mean, it's like, boom, you do it, and you're feeling good, you're interacting with the other person, and you have a release. And that's good. We're not knocking that. But we're just saying that's not the complete picture. That's not the natural way of doing it. That is, in fact, a restricted sexual response. In our classes, we have women on the table in orgasmic orbit for over an hour and a half on a regular basis. And these were women who, in some cases, were not orgasmic at all. We've had men on the table. The most we've had a man in orgasmic orbit is about a half hour, because men are more difficult to work on because we don't have enough women to do it. But the men seem to, when they experience it, the men seem to heal even faster than the women. So when we have the, this is without any penetration, this is without any, the people are still partially clothed. So you can imagine what happens in the bedroom. And normally when people start, finish the class and start engaging in this, and as I said before, less than 25% of the people experience this in the class. For most, they've got to work on it after class. And of the hundreds of people that have been through the class, less than 50% ever achieve it because they don't follow through and do the other work.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to take away from what happens to the people who do. So mm-hmm. basically what we're saying is the majority of the population overwhelmingly are in a state that we call restricted sexual response. They are just not able to respond no matter what, no matter how aroused they are. They just physically, they can't store up the energy like that because their DNA is not activated. And when we fully activate the feminine or masculine DNA, their capacity to store up and use this energy shifts, and they enter into a state we call expanded sexual response, which basically means that they become tantric.
Mm, okay, definitely. That's a lot of information to process, as I'm sure our listeners are listening in. So you talked briefly, and you just stated briefly that it's becoming tantric. So there's a lot of misconceptions about tantra, so could you please, you know, go into a little bit of what tantra is?
Tantra, again, mm-hmm. is the way you are programmed in your DNA to engage with the opposite sex. That's what tantra mm-hmm. is. When you are born, you have a blueprint. And when you become, when you fully construct that blueprint in your auric field, in your energy body, in your tower, then you are said to have become holy. In other words, you have become whole. And you are able to do things that people would consider supernatural. And this is what the masters of old demonstrated. They became whole. They completed their auric field construction. And they became then what is called holy. Now, part of that holiness is sexual, and that your sexual activity becomes holy, or it becomes complete, or you're able to do everything that's in your DNA. That's what it means, holy. It doesn't mean anything spiritual. It doesn't mean anything moral. It has nothing to do with God. It's not. That's not the thing at all. I mean, well, it does have something to do with God, of course, but it's not a religious thing whatsoever. It has no religious connotation at all. And religion and spirituality have nothing to do with this. We're simply talking about humans are constructed a certain way, and when they get to a certain place, they can use all of the stuff that they were born with. That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
So tantra is the practice of trying to recover the stuff that you're missing. That's what it is, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. But in history, two things have happened. First of all, the elite have tried desperately to keep tantra out of the hands of the masses because it is so empowering. The other mm-hmm. thing is that all religions, once they move away from the original teachings that they were laid down with, they vehemently and actively seek to destroy anything having to do with tantric practice.
So
most of the Buddhas practiced tantra, but Buddhists mm-hmm. later on try to destroy it. Most demons, of course, practice Tantra. And you can see it even in the scriptures that have been changed. But, of course, when the Romans took over the church, they, you know, of course, they actively burnt people that practiced anything like that. Many of the popes branded these people as witches and burned them at the stake.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Hinduism. It's the same thing with any religion. Once you get a religion where they're basically document-based, where they're dealing with documentation and, you know, dealing with a doctrine, they cannot tolerate anything that is natural because you don't need the clergy. You know,
exactly.
Women are becoming enlightened through Tantra without the help or benefit of any clergy whatsoever. And, of course, that can't be tolerated in a dictatorial-type society. So Tantra, when we have these two things, the elite trying to keep Tantra practice to themselves because it gives them power, and you find that in many societies there are royal families.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent that practice still goes on today. And they're very selective about who they mate with because they're using Tantra to empower themselves and to empower their offspring so that they're born with greater, more of their skill sets active. And thus, they keep an advantage over the people that they control, the people that are not in the elite classes. So Tantra has had this problem for many, many years where they just really, whenever someone talks about Tantra, the religious institutions immediately put out false information to confuse people. And many of the people who think they know Tantra have only studied the philosophy of it.
Yeah.
I would say 90% of the tantric systems today are philosophical Tantra. They're not active Tantra. When I introduced active Tantra on the East Coast in 2006, it shocked people. They had no idea you could actually do that stuff. And it sent the Tantra community into an uproar. And some of them immediately tried to discredit me because, you know, I knew things that they didn't know. But from time to time, this has always happened. When Osho was here in the 80s, they did the same to him. They basically vehemently, you know, tried to refute the stuff that he was saying because it sounded so outlandish. But, you know, now we know that he was telling the truth, even though he had an unorthodox way of doing it. So Tantra is not these philosophies of talking about the chakras and, you know, meditations and stuff like that. I mean, that's part of it. But active Tantra basically is activating your DNA and allowing you to do stuff that you were born to do, period, end of story. And the sciences of it are complex and extreme. But the classes, we break it all down simply, and it's something that everyone who's taken a class has been able to do it. Everyone who has taken a class has been able to do it. Why? As complicated as it is, because you're born to do it. It's just like a car is able to drive on the highway, because that's what it's built for. Humans are built as sexual beings. They're made to do Tantra, period.
Very true. Definitely. With that being said, I'm going to leave it off on that real powerful note. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. We'll take a quick commercial break, and when we come back on, we'll finish up the presentation aspect. And I know y'all have questions. I know. I see you with the questions. So call in 917-932-8881, and you'll be able to raise your hand by pressing 1. Definitely we'll get into those questions ASAP. So I'm going to play this quick commercial, and then we'll be right back. All right.
Would you like to attract more abundance into your life? Have you been feeling sluggish, uninspired, frustrated, or unenergetic? Then the 2014 Spring Awakening Cleanse, hosted by Awakened Vitality and Gemini Creations, is just what you've been waiting for. This 21-day cleanse is a spiritual experience designed to help you raise your vibration and energy level. We will put a focus not only on nutrition, but how to nourish your spirit as well. This will allow you to not only feel, but live better. We are offering 3 customizable packages, silver, gold, and platinum, starting at only $35. To register or learn more about this seasonal cleanse, visit www.awakenedvitality.com. Reach us by email, healandcleanse@gmail.com. Or you can reach us by phone at 614-300-5702. Registration ends March 14th.
Said I'll be real in need, yeah. It's better in a dream, yeah. Said I'll be real in need, yeah, 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 yeah. It's better in a dream.
Peace, peace, we're back. And that was a quick little commercial break. And again, that is the Awakened Vitality and Gemini Creations Awakened Spring Awakening Cleanse. Excuse me, I can't even say my own cleanse. You know it is going on with me today, tongue-tied. All right, the Spring Awakening Cleanse. And you can definitely check that out at awakenedvitality.com. We have a special going on where if you can bring on two of your friends, you get $10 off your package choice. So definitely go on over there, check it out. We're going to be talking so much about so many great topics. Actually, last cleanse, we spoke briefly on the topic we're talking about now, Kundalini energy and healing. And then we're back with Master Yao on live, again, talking about Kundalini healing. And we just got finished defining Tantra and all of that wonderful stuff for you guys. So, again, I'm going to ask you guys to hold off on your questions really, really quickly as we get through the rest of this presentation, because some of your questions might have been my questions. So we just want to move through the questions, make sure we get a good foundation of the information, and then we're going to move forward. All right, Master Yao. We're in the second stretch. You ready? All right.
Yeah.
And so what is the Master Feminine Faculty?
As we said, Kundalini healing, it tries to do two things. It tries to activate the attributes that are dormant in your DNA. And Kundalini healing also tries to physically heal you, your cells, your blood vessels, your muscles, and things like this. And this process is always ongoing, and Kundalini healing is accelerated. So when you have this DNA, when you're born, there's big blocks of DNA that are inactive. So when you, all of your DNA that has to do with feminine and masculine is put in a special place. It's not active at birth. In other words, you are not, you don't have access to use all of these attributes that make you a woman or a man. They're separate from the rest of your human DNA. Approximately, you know, around age 9, 10, or 11, you begin to change. And what happens is a faculty within your energy body begins to go into the DNA and wake up these gender-based attributes, the things that separate and make a woman, a female, different from a man. So we have these big blocks, hundreds of thousands of attributes defined in the genes that cause a woman to be different from a man. And the Master Feminine Faculty is that faculty that's like the manager of the feminine energy. It goes in and says, okay, it's time to wake this girl up and turn her into a woman. And so it picks and chooses from her feminine attributes in the DNA, and it begins to wake some of them up. And that causes the woman to develop breasts, to her voice to change, her look to change, her hormonal. It changes her, and it's a major change. And it's different from the male. So every one of these attributes has a marked difference in how it manifests that person from the opposite attribute in the opposite sex. So the masculine is doing the same thing, but it's choosing complementary but opposite genes to do it with. This master feminine faculty, you know, comes awake and is most active in puberty. Unfortunately, most women do not finish puberty. What I mean is the master feminine faculty starts working, and it usually shuts down a couple of years after it starts, so that the woman's puberty experience, 99% of the time, is incomplete. In other words, it's like a computer. You finish some of the hardware on the computer. You load some of the hardware, and you start loading the software. But somebody comes along and says, no, we don't want to do those programs anymore, so don't load that. Don't make that active. Mm-hmm. So your computer doesn't have the applications on it yet. It's got a few, but not the majority of them. This is how most women enter adulthood. They've got the body of a woman, but their reproductive system is incomplete, and the operating software is markedly, devastatingly incomplete. Mm-hmm. And this is the root cause of you know, so many reproductive issues,
yeah,
is that the operating software was never finished loading, because these things are whatever. Therefore, the remarkable thing that we've done in Grand Tribe is we've learned how to reactivate the master feminine faculty and send a woman or a man through a process called second puberty, where we go back and wake that thing up, because it gets shut down. What shuts it down? It's shut down by mainly the parents, by religion and guilt and things like that, by the fear of pregnancy, sexual trauma, anything that makes sex feel bad. When you tell the young girl, don't wear that dress that shows off your legs, if you tell her, don't walk a certain way, don't be what she naturally is, anything that you tell, don't get pregnant. Women are designed to get pregnant. If you tell her don't have money, or if you give her a poverty consciousness, women are made to have money. If you tell her don't be sexy, women are made to be sexy, erotic, and attractive. In the minute that you know she's rejected, somebody doesn't want to go out with her. Somebody says she's ugly, she's fat. The minute that you do that, you are telling the master feminine faculty, don't finish your work.
Hmm. All right. Well, that was some church. Anyway, in the good way. Anyway, definitely, that's very deep. That's definitely very deep. Is it also affected by the aspects of our society that can be sometimes suppressive towards women, like as far as, you know, not just within the community or somebody specifically telling us, but like the subconscious undertone of what we feel a woman is supposed to be on either extreme?
We are in the dark ages. We are living in the dark ages of sexuality today in 2014. And it's even worse for men, because what we're telling men is far worse than what we're telling women. And what we're telling women is pretty, pretty bad. It's pretty, pretty, it's worse than bad. It's bad, bad, bad. So, I mean, if you look at what we're telling these young girls, the first thing is that the men are not doing what they're supposed to do, because the men are supposed to be like, welcoming her into the community. Okay, we got another woman now. We got another beautiful, you know, female human in our midst. So we're supposed to welcome her, make her feel welcome, and make her feel beautiful, make her feel that we're going to take care of you. And instead, you know, men kind of prey on them.
Mm.
Then the women are just as bad. The women are like, they don't welcome the young girl and make her feel that her sexuality is a good thing. They make her feel like it's a liability. So then, you know, we have this reward system where women are rewarded for being beautiful but not being actually sexual.
Mm.
So it's like, yes, you're supposed to have the capacity to generate all this attraction, generate all this sexual energy, but don't actually do anything with it. It's like stock. You want to, you know, you want to trade it. You want to constantly be getting attention and getting advantages from it. But the thing that it's there for, giving pleasure and creativity and energy, women aren't doing that.
Okay. Definitely. Well, that's deep right there, definitely. But this next subject, I read a little bit about it in the handout file that you gave me, and that, this one's about to be good. So what is a womb imprint?
I think you're beginning to see, when we talk about Kundalini healing, the prospects and the potential of it is vast. I believe that, you know, if you've been listening now, you should begin to get the picture that there's a whole other world out there that most people have been kept away from. So it's energetic. The woman is dynamic, and of course the man is too, but we're talking about a woman right now, the female. So, you know, when the Creator created humans, He created them perfect. There is no flaw. We insert the flaw. So when the young girl is developing herself, she's programmed in her DNA, once it starts waking up, she's programming to fine-tune her development so that she can be relevant to this particular culture, age, and time. So the girl doesn't just develop into a woman. She has software that allows her to tailor make herself so that she can make herself to fit any man, any time frame, any cultural prerogative. So the first three men who penetrate her as a young girl when she first starts having her cycle, now it must be after she's started her menses, not before. But the first three men who penetrate, and it has to be penetration, who penetrate her vagina after menses, they imprint her with their energy. They imprint her womb, not the physical womb, the energy womb, the energetic auric womb. And they imprint her brain. And therefore, the young girl begins to take a composite sketch of these three men. She takes this energy and she forms and she tries to make herself, to fine-tune herself, to be compatible and to be the right woman for these men. In other words, what she does is she uses these men as the template for what she feels all men are going to be. And thus, she changes her development through the master feminine faculty so that she can, first of all, attract men like these to her for the rest of her life, so that she can be pleased by men like that for the rest of her life, and so that she can please men like that for the rest of her life. And basically what this is doing is setting her up so that, you know, the first men that she has sex with, she will be perfect for them. However, once, you know, this happens, in most cases today, it's a negative event, and it sets her up for sexual unhappiness. And whatever, because most of the men that she first has sex with are not necessarily so evolved. So, you know, there are provisions to erase the womb imprint and redo it. And that's what we call the honeymoon ritual. In other words, what the honeymoon today is kind of a, you know, it's not what it was first meant to be. But there's an indigenous rites of passage called honeymoon. And honeymoon is you erase the former womb imprint that was there before, and you basically give her the ability to, you know, sort of start a clean slate, default back to the ground rule, and then when the husband comes in after 9 months of preparation, then his imprint becomes a womb imprint. But that's not practiced today, with the exception of a few people like me. And when the woman doesn't do that, and she's had sex with these men as a teenager, then when she gets married, there is a constant conflict sexually going on all the time between the energy vibration of the men, the first three men she had sex with, and the energy vibration of her husband. That is the womb imprint.
Well, that's deep. That's definitely deep. So we got 20 minutes left on the live stream, and we do want to get to these callers. We want to start bringing them on. But before we get them on, I would just like for you to get out your information and how that people can get in contact with you, and any information you have on future projects, events, workshops, and all that type of stuff.
Yes, the best way to get in touch with me and to stay current is to go to http://www.facebook.com/yal, that's Y as in yes, A as in alpha, O as in omega, and dot Morris. So it's facebook.com/yalmorris. And that'll take you to my Facebook wall. And there's a lot of posts and stuff on there. You may have to scroll down because it's a busy wall. But you'll see links to all kinds of events, videos, documents. You can go to my notes page, and there's all kinds of stuff there. That will also take you to the Grand Trine page. You'll see links to the Grand Trine page on there, which is the International Grand Trine Circle. That's the Facebook name of the page. Now, I'm in Atlanta right now, and I just moved down here because we also are planning this year to do a double a clinical trial for expanded sexual response here in the city of Atlanta. I'm in negotiations and talking right now to Dr. B. Sirius down here to help us to set this up and try to bring this into being. We have our first class coming up March 19th, and you can register for it now, and that's on Eventbrite, and the Eventbrite link is on that Facebook page we talked to you about, and it's called Awakening the Kundalini Atlanta, and so with Master Yal Morris. We also, you can go to one of my websites, is called www.oraclekimsanu, that's K-H-E-M, Kim, S-A, Kimsa, Nu, N-U. So oraclekimsanu.com. And you go there and you can purchase the books. I have 5 books in print and more coming this year. You can also, the website also gives a few other little pieces of information. And if you go to the Eventbrite page for the classes, it allows you to go to my main Eventbrite page, the home of the Eventbrite page. And when you get to my home Eventbrite page, which you can also get to from the website, then you can see all of the events that we have planned for the next 4 or 5 months, including parties and just, you know, free events and things like that. We had a counterfeit personality party last week. And we had a meet and greet last week, and we got stuff coming up from time to time that, you know, just to kind of keep the flow going. So that's how you can get in touch with me.
Okay, definitely. Amazing, amazing. All right, so everybody, definitely go and check out those links. I posted those links into the chat if you're on the live stream, so they should be available there. And as well, I'll post some of them on facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen as normal. All right, we have a caller with their hand raised, caller from the 646 area code. You're live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Yes, hi, Master Yao. It's Lola K.
Hey.
Can you hear me? Hi.
How you doing? What was that name again?
I said Lola K.
Okay.
From Q Raw for TV.
Yes.
And how are you?
I'm doing excellent.
Good, good. I have a question. You talked about how the like a lot of the spiritual people, you know, did like they used contraceptives to reach enlightenment, but like a lot of times, they tell you that they were you know, virgins or, you know, celibate and stuff like that. And so I'm just wondering, like, is that not necessarily true? Or is it that you don't need to have sex to reach enlightenment through Tantra?
Now, there is such a thing as vestal virgins, and many secret orders and mystery schools and indigenous societies still practice that today. The vestal virgin, as they're called, or temple virgin, as they're called, they're, you know, women who agree to sacrifice themselves so that they can be used as spiritual vessels. And what happens is that the priest or the tantra men go in and they work with her through her aura. So they do have sex with her, but there's no physical touching. But they have sex with her. She has probably a better sexual life than most women will ever have. But they but they don't actually penetrate her. And the reason that she remains a virgin is so that she can be like a true vessel, and her vibration is not tainted with negative energy. But yes, most of the Vestal Virgins in these secret societies, they're, you know, they're having rituals with them every month, and they're doing stuff with them every month, but it's not physical. And so, I mean, so yes, she has never been penetrated necessarily with by a physical man, but she's had probably more sex than most women will have.
Do you think that, like, people like Jesus and Gautam the Buddha and, you know, different people like that, you know, engaged in tantra sex, physical tantra sex?
There's absolutely no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. It's just, it's crazy to think otherwise. That, you know, it's said that he had a relationship with Mary Magdalene, and in fact later on had children with her, and I tend to believe that. But more importantly, there are so many documented cases of masters, from Native Americans to Russians to Africans to people in Asia. There's so many documented cases of it that it's just hard to refute. And also, you know, you have to understand that many of the ways that we're able to communicate with the spirit world is through women in trance. So when, you know, I can communicate with ancestors and elementals, but in order to talk, have an extended conversation with an ancestor, it's difficult to do it in trance. And so, and it's really a right brain type of thing. It's not like you're talking words so much. So if you want to get details on stuff, you have to get a woman, and she has to possess and go into trance. She has to possess an ancestor, and you talk through the ancestor through her. And most women can do it, but if you really want to be really clear and have a clear transmission and be able to really reach the more ascended ancestors, you need to utilize a woman who is clean in her womb. In other words, she doesn't have a lot of interference, and that's usually a virgin. So, well, I have not had access to too many virgins, but the women that I have had the greatest success with in terms of those them being vessels for me to communicate with the spirit world are women who are highly sexual in terms of their receptivity, but they've also been very, they haven't had a lot of trauma, and they haven't had like a, they don't have a lot of negativity surrounding sex. They haven't been traumatized. They don't have a lot of negative ideas about sex. So they don't attach a lot of negative energy to it. And therefore, when you work with them, they're able to do things that that we consider to be supernatural or occult.
Okay. Thank you.
Amazing question. Thank you for calling in.
Good job.
All right, if you have a question, you got 5 minutes to call in. After that, you can't call in because the show is over. All right, so that's 917-932-8881. Yeah, that was definitely some great questions. Thank you to Lola K for tuning in and having those questions. Is there any last thing that you would like to say to everybody, anything that we didn't get to cover during the show?
Well, in the Grantron program, when people first come in, there's a lot of disbelief about this because it does seem to be something out of a Star Wars movie or something like that, because you know, when you see the videos of the students, they are waving their hands around and people are having orgasms, and you're like, what the heck is going on here? and so I want to urge people to keep an open mind and to understand that as humans, we have great capabilities of doing things. Most of it is untapped. I want to also say that I have noticed in the last few years that there's a great imbalance between how women are treating men and how men are treating women. And what I mean by that is, I'm not talking about the common people out here, the regular people out here. I'm talking about the people out here who are a little bit more evolved and who consider themselves to be, you know, a little bit better citizens, so to speak. And I've noticed that women are not putting the energy into healing men. So I don't see the same thing as men. I see men, and this, of course, is a very small fractional percentage of the men, but they are now beginning to spend a great deal of energy and attention to use Kundalini healing to heal women. And we don't see the same response from women yet. When women come through the class and get the magic tea and get the abilities to do some of these things, what they typically do is start a family. They get married. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, and they use it for business. They use it to help their, you know, their family finances grow and things like that. It's all good. But, we're starting just in the last 6 months to see women who are coming into the program and are staying with it and using their abilities to heal men. And I want to really urge the women listening to continue with that and to make some man's dreams come true and help him to get out of that rut that he's in and into a better place. We need to get away from all of this fantasy sex. We need to get away from all of these women who are very beautiful, and all they do on Facebook is post pictures of themselves to be admired, but they're not really going beyond that. When you talk to them in person, they're not happy. And we have all of these men who are running around, and they're trying to have all of this great sexual stuff, but they don't have the tools to really do it, and they're not happy. And we have all of these people dealing with pornography, all of these people dealing with the image of sexual perfection, but not the reality of it. My word is that each month I try to make my reality of sexual life better than my fantasy. Right now, my sexual life is better than what my fantasy sexual life was 10 years ago. So my reality sexual life, what I'm actually doing, is better than anything that I could have dreamed of 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect. There's still a lot of room for expansion. And, you know, I don't have the most regular or robust sexual life because I'm older now, and I don't do things the way I used to. But I'm urging people to try to make their realities better than their fantasies and to focus, to get away from this virtual sexual world that we're creating. And make sure that we are looking out for the opposite sex and we're trying to make their reality better. And I just think that we've got to focus on that. We've got to say, okay, let's stop looking at women and saying, okay, well, she probably is going to do this to me and she probably is going to do that to me. Let's stop and think what could have happened to her in the past to cause her to have these dispositions and postures. And what can I do to heal her? And Kundalini healing will help you. And women the same, we're constantly causing the men that we meet to deal with our past. We're judging them based on what men in the past did. Yeah. I say we want to create something that's not based on what happened in the past. We want to create a reality that's better than our fantasies, that's better than porn, that's better than the Facebook pages that, you know, have everybody twerking and this and that and the other.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
We just have 60 seconds left on the live queue, so it's going to cut off to everybody who's on the live stream, and a large majority of our listeners are on there. So I just want to invite them to visit all of the Facebook pages and all the websites that the brother mentioned. Again, it's right there in the live stream. And I want to say thank you to everybody who tuned in. And I definitely want you guys to come back next week and listen into our show. We will be having Pitar Ratahuti as our guest, and he's an amazing, amazing artist. So definitely tune in next week. Not to catch you off. Yeah. we just had that 10 seconds left, so it was like, 10 seconds. I was like, all right, you can finish up your thought.
I just wish them well. Great good mm-hmm. fortune. And thanks for having me on, and you're a beautiful sister.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for coming on and sharing so much lovely information with us and giving us a lot of hope on the sexual aspect of our lives and making us look at it from a very different perspective and also bringing in a lot of great scientific knowledge. So, everybody, just thank you for tuning in and peace and blessings, and tune in to us next week on Conversations with the Queen. Peace and blessings, y'all.